Hey, Bernie here. I've heard from many of you who have taken my survey that it was thought-provoking, that it really got you thinking. So glad to hear that. If you haven't taken my survey yet, check it out. It's in the show notes as well as at midlifefulfilled.com, and you'll hear more about it later.
It's like we come alive at midlife. People are so worried that midlife is going to be a time where they dry up and nobody considers them. And I've had so many people even come into my world and they'll look at a bunch of, you know, on social media or whatever, a bunch of human design readers, and they choose me because I am older. So I think that there's so many gifts that we bring in midlife and beyond, and it's time for us to start stepping up and standing in that power. And I love how you do that with the podcast and the people that you bring on.
Welcome to the Midlife Fulfilled podcast. Are you over 40 and ready to truly thrive? Well, on this podcast, we go deep on ways to thrive across the five pillars of midlife: health, fitness, career, relationships, and legacy. I'm Bernie Borges, midlife advocate, life coach, and your host. Subscribe now and get ready to thrive. Vicki Dixon, welcome to the Midlife Fulfill podcast, a maximum episode.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I am happy to have you. I'm looking forward to having an invigorating, enlightening conversation with you, Vicki. We were talking in the green room before recording that there's a lot I want to learn about what you do. But let me give my listener a little bit of background on you, and I'll ask you or invite you to embellish a little bit, because I know that you are a lifelong entrepreneur. You've had many businesses. You say your first business was making Barbie clothes out of Kleenex when you were 5 years old. Boy, that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
And you've been successful at just about every business, including your brick and mortar business. And you say that your biggest wake up in life was when your father was diagnosed with dementia at age 52. Both my parents had it, but they were in their 90s. So different season for them, but I certainly had that experience, but not at age 52. I'm sure that was very traumatic. You've experienced your own burnout, and then you went back to school at age 41 and you became a certified holistic nutritionist. Love that. And then you say that about 8 years into your journey, human design entered your field, and you've harnessed human design into your practice. So I invited you here to this episode, Vicki, to really discuss exactly that concept, human design, and how you actually employ, if you will, human design in the people that you work with, in the coaching that you do for them. So if we could, Vicki, let's begin with just the basic, simple explanation of what is human design.
So the basic, most simple explanation is that it is a blueprint. It's a snapshot of two moments in time. One, the moment of your birth, and one about 3 months before your birth. And it's where the planets were aligned at those times. But what it tells you is how your energy is meant to be, how your energy flows best in the world, how you'll work best in relationships, in businesses. It's your greatest strengths, greatest talents. And also it shows us a little bit where you're going to get kicked around by life. So, you know, the places that you're conditioned to believe that you're something that you're not, or to believe that you're not enough or too much, or all those messages that we can get as we go through life.
Okay. So it is using, is it fair to say that it's using science, or maybe you can clarify that? Because you mentioned that, you know, the planets, when I was born, the 3 months before I was born, how the planets were aligned, et cetera.
Yes. So it is, it's a mix of a few things. It's if the chakra system and astrology and the I Ching and the Jewish Kabbalah had a baby, it would be human design. So it brings in science and woo and marries them together in a way that just is unreal.
Hmm. Okay. So then how do you use human design to coach? Because you coach entrepreneurs, right?
I do more consulting than coaching. I'm not, my own human design actually isn't built for holding people in one-on-one situations as much as in groups. So I do group courses and a lot of consulting for businesses.
So then how does human design come into play in consulting for a business then?
Okay. So I'll tell you about a client that I was working with today without telling you about the client that I was working with today. So she, one of the big drivers in her own design is that she's here to be really powerful and really assertive. And the gate, this is human design language, but the energy that 70% of who she is goes through is provoking energy. So when I look at a human design chart, I see a newborn baby and I see, oh my gosh, all of these gifts that you brought here, all of this that you came here to be. I work mostly with women and their partners when they kind of shove them into the room with me to say, hey, he needs this too. But you can imagine this little girl who was raised to be powerful and provocative and assertive. And the messaging that she got is that she's too intimidating. She's too much. She's too masculine, too much in her masculine energy. Every coach she's ever worked with has told her she's too much in her masculine energy. And that's just little pieces of her design that I'm pulling out here. But when I look at the whole map of her design, I'm saying, well, how could you be anything else? That doesn't mean you're not feminine because you're powerful. Doesn't mean you're not feminine because you're assertive, because you know what you want and you have willpower and drive and all of these things. But we tend to, and I've never been a guy, so I don't know what the conditioning is of men. I know what I see, but I don't know what it feels like. But I know that as girls, we certainly get that messaging a lot of you're too much, you know, quiet down, quiet down, quiet down. You're too much. You're too big. All of these things. So that it was just a powerful, it's powerful when you can be in a room with someone and really be seen. So a lot of times women will come in and they'll say, oh my gosh, like nobody knows that about me. Like I feel so seen. And we can pick out different places where the conditioning is really heavy. You know, there's certain places in the chart where it's like one of her heaviest conditioners was around control. So, you know, anyway, it's a lot of little things that make a lot of sense when you get in a room with someone.
Okay. All right. So that's a lot. So let's make this about me, right?
Okay.
Let's make this all about me. Okay. I'm being a little facetious, but where I'm going with this is you invited me to do my own chart, my human design chart. So I filled in the information and I think you said you can access it while we're on StreamYard together, because when I look at the chart, it's very detailed, but I'm not qualified, if you will, to understand what it means. So maybe you can unpack it for me.
Sure. I love that you, how long do I have here? Like 5 minutes?
No, we've got 20 minutes or so, give or take.
Okay. I don't want to do the whole thing on your design if you want to talk about other things, but I love that you use the languaging that I invited you to run your chart, because you might have noticed on the bottom of your chart. So you're a projector in human design. You're a projector. There are five types in human design, and projectors make up about 20% of the planet. And your strategy for moving through life, what's going to feel the best to bring your energy alive, is when you are invited in. So rather than like pushing your way through things, when someone gives you an invitation in, it is like, oh, okay, your energy kind of comes alive for that. Projectors are here to be the guides. So 20% of the population, and you really guide the energy of the others. And I see how you're doing that in your business so beautifully, in your podcast so beautifully. You know, you're guiding us to all of these resources and all of these great guests and people who can help us to live better lives at midlife. I still can't believe I'm saying I'm at midlife, but here we are. So that's the projector piece. One of the things about projectors is that you tend to need more rest than others. And this is something that is hugely conditioned in our society, because we tend to treat people like they are lazy if they need more rest. And, you know, it's like a work culture. And none of us are designed to work all the time. We're all designed for cycles of rest, but projectors actually tend to need a little bit more rest than others. And they can feel sometimes like that's something that's wrong with them when it's not. It's because energetically you hold the potential of the planet. You see so much potential for people. And when we're not reaching our potential, it's like it hurts your heart that we're not reaching our potential. Hmm. In your particular design, there's a certain amount of verbal processing that needs to happen in order to become clear on decisions.
What does that mean?
So you need to talk things out. Lots of times you won't know what the answer is for you until you hear yourself say it. And it's not that you need to be in a space where you need someone to give you feedback or you need someone to give you advice. You just need to be able to get the words out so that you understand what it is that you think. You have in your design as well, one of my very favorite channels and people, I have human design envy over this all the time, but you have this channel and I don't like the wording for it. It's called Genius to Freak, but it's 43. It's a channel that has a really different way of looking at life, a really different way of looking at any situation, and you see it differently than other people, but sometimes it can be hard to get people to understand what you mean. You learn in a really different way. I don't know if that came through for you at school. I think school was different when we were there. But I'm wondering if you ever had any, I'm going to come back so I can look at you and not your chart. I'm wondering if you had different times in your academic life where it was hard for you to get into words what you meant, or where when you were younger child, where you couldn't really explain how you knew that that was the answer, but you just knew that that was the answer. Like you just have a different way of giving insights.
Well, there's a concept that I learned in my adult years. I don't remember how long ago it was. It wasn't 5 years ago and it probably wasn't 30 years ago. So somewhere in between. The concept is, and this is fairly well known, conscious competent. That concept, when I heard that concept, Vicki, it was eye-opening for me. It was like this humongous light bulb, meaning that there were times in my life where I was an unconscious competent, meaning that I couldn't explain why I did something a certain way. When I learned what a conscious competent is, then it really kind of cemented for me that I want to always be a conscious competent. I want to always be able to explain why I do what I do the way I do. And the same thing for others. You know, like if I've been a manager in many roles in my career, I want to be able to coach my people on things that they're doing. And I'm been very careful about that, to not come across overbearing, overpowering, or maybe cavalier or any of that. But the point I'm getting at to the point that you made is, I wouldn't say that I struggled in my youth in school, but there certainly were certain subjects like writing, reading, all things around communication came more naturally to me than the sciences and advanced math. Simple math, no problem, but advanced math and the sciences, I had to work at it. I don't know if that has any bearing on what you're describing here. Hey, Brona here with a quick update. My 2024 Midlife Fulfilled Survey is now available. I've partnered with Udemy, a leader in online education, on a survey that's going to inform a forthcoming research report on fulfillment in midlife. And I want you to take this survey. Now, you will not be asked to identify yourself. That means no name or email is requested on this survey. The link for this survey is in the show notes for this episode, as well as on the homepage at midlifefulfilled.com. Hey, while you're on the show notes page, get my new Midlife Fulfilled scorecard, where you can score yourself in each of the five pillars and then easily calculate a total fulfillment score. Hey, that's all for now. Let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, well, and I think even some of the things you do with your podcast, like you turn things into a new light for us. You bring us new ways of looking at midlife. Like that's kind of the mission that you're on, is for us to all look at midlife differently, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just having this little bit of a different insight into the way that people do things, maybe into the way that you do things. And I love the way you talked about when you were managing people and when you were coaching, and you know, you're trying to make it in a way that doesn't come on too strong to them and that sort of thing. It's like, that's a perfect projector. That's a projector who's on purpose, who really understands, hey, I have this knack that I can guide the energy of people. How can I do that in the best way?
Okay. Well, that's a great segue, Vicki, to discussing the concept of human design within the context of the five pillars, right? And as you know, because I think I've shared before with you, that the five pillars that I speak about are health, fitness, career, relationships, and legacy. So I think, if I'm understanding correctly, that we can apply our understanding of human design into each of those pillars. Am mm-hmm. I right? Or mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So there are different pieces of the body. Okay, so in my holistic health background, to me, holistic is the whole person. And in my holistic health background, it was often about looking at our emotional health because it affects our physical health. If you're not feeling supported, your back might be sore, those types of things. So human design does that too. There are different gates, and I know this is human design language, but there are different pieces of human design that coincide with physical health as well. And human design, because it tells us how our energy is meant to work, it will tell us how how we exercise best. There's, you know, your digestion is laid out in your human design. There's lots of your different health things listed in your human design. And your fitness, how are you best meant to exercise? You can find that in your human design as well. My very favorite piece is the legacy piece. Absolutely the legacy piece, because I feel like at midlife, there's a lot of stuff that goes on at midlife. And, you know, we used to call it a midlife crisis, and there's planetary returns. There's stuff going on in the cosmos for us at midlife, and it can make us feel like we're going crazy. And, you know, maybe our kids are leaving home, we're facing an empty nest, our partnerships are maybe changing a little bit. And there's this search for purpose. It's like, if not now, then when? I've put this off. I've taken care of everything I was supposed to take care of. What am I going to do next with my life? And human design gives us a map of our purpose. It gives us, and please understand that to me, purpose is not what you do. It's who you be. It's how you move through the world. So you're living your purpose with your family. You're living your purpose in your job. You're living your purpose in everything that you do, hopefully. And human design gives us some clues into that. Relationships, 100% with relationships. You know, if you're a different type than your spouse, or my husband and I are the same type, and human design gave us so much understanding. He's an empath, and I'm someone who's defined, this is human design speak, but defined emotionally. So we're completely different emotional systems that run us. And it always felt like he was making a big deal of things that I didn't feel very strongly about, and vice versa. And it's just because our human designs are different. Even though we're the same type, we have all these different ways that we behave. So you can just bring human design into everything that you're doing.
Okay. So this next question, it just popped into my head, is going to sound silly, but I'll ask it, Vicky. And that is it a blessing or a curse to understand your human design?
Yeah. I really think it's a blessing. And I think it's a curse if other people don't understand your design sometimes. Like there's sometimes my husband will say to me, I think he thinks it's cursed that I understand his design, because he'll say to me, oh, are you going to human design me now? You know, whenever I'm, and it's like, yes, I'm always human designing you. But it's really a gift in relationships, in your business, in like with your relationship with your kids. For me, one of the biggest gifts has been understanding my grandkids' designs. Because knowing that we can, you know, I think every generation does a little bit better, and we try to do a little bit better, but understanding their human design, I can give them a pass on the things that I'm like, oh, that's just how they're designed to be, you know? Whereas, you know, with my own kids, I wish I had it. I wish I knew that my son, the way his emotions worked when he was little, because it was a constant battle for, you know, trying to get him to like toe the line and not be too emotional and not be, you know, flying off the handle and all these things, but there's something in his design that needs that emotional release. So like, it's just guiding the energy, helping to guide the energy with our families.
So here's the thought, Vicky. Mm-hmm. I have long believed that I am, I'm going to use some really, some lingo here, that's not at all scientific or, you know, human design lingo. I've long believed that I'm wired to understand people. Mm-hmm. That given enough time in building a relationship with people, whether it's at work, family, friends, doesn't matter the setting. As long as I have some time to really get to know someone, this doesn't happen in a day or two, usually over a span of time. I've always felt like I can come to understand kind of how they're wired, to understand what makes them tick, what gets them upset, what makes them feel happy, fulfilled, et cetera, et cetera. So is that me being a projector or what?
That's a good question, actually. So that's a few things. So when I look at your design, when I look at anyone's design, I don't ever just look at one piece of the chart. I feel like there's a tendency to label, just like there is in every other aspect of life, where we can just label and be like, well, that's how it is because I'm a projector, because I'm a manifesting generator. But when we look at the nuances of the design, we see so much more. So when I look at your chart, I see that you are an empath. You absolutely feel into what people are feeling. You understand what people are feeling in a way that others cannot. And that's really powerful. One piece of your design is that bonding with the right people and understanding the bonds that you have with people is really important to you. You have laser focused intuition. You're here to be wise about intuition. And so that again would help you to feel into what other people are feeling or how they are showing up in life. Now I didn't check the themes in your design. I didn't check all of them because, you know, I just got this a few minutes ago. But one of the things that keeps you grounded is being connected to inner truth, always getting to the inner truth. And with this energy in your design, there's a certain sense of wonder about you where you can just really wonder about things. And I mean that in a sense of looking out at the world in wonder and really wanting to have the inner truth, really wanting to get to the inner truth. Another thing is that you're a visionary leader and you're someone who provides a karmic mirror for people. So maybe there's been times in your life where that's been a little bit uncomfortable because you see things that other people don't see. You see what we don't see for ourselves sometimes, certainly the people you're here to serve. And you're going to research, you're going to get to the bottom of things, but it's always in service of the people that you're here to help, the people that you're here to guide. And you have leadership in your design. You have a full channel of leadership in your design as a theme in your design. So, I mean, there's lots of places in your design. It's never just one thing. It's always how it layers on itself. But yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I could see how you would be able to really, really know people.
Okay. How does it impact you, given how much you know about human design? You shared the story, you made the comment that your husband says, "Are you human designing me?"
Yeah.
do you sort of deal with that every day, like every human encounter that you have?
A lot of them. I was at a week-long mastermind last July, and we're 13 people in a room together for 14 hours a day. And so it became very much like I was thinking of, like, actually Weekend at Bernie's is the movie that I was thinking of, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can totally look around this room and see who's this and who's that and who's the other thing. So it's fun. And it can be almost, you know, if I'm in a group of people, it's almost like a party trick that they want you to pull out. But I think it's so much bigger than that. And for myself, I think the greatest gift for me, so I have a lot of intensity in my design. I have fire in my design, and as a manifesting generator, so just to highlight real, manifesting generators tend to multitask and we do a lot of things at once and we are high energy. And I mean, you can see that in my careers, right? I'm like a typical Manny Gen, but our conditioning is stick to one thing. And how many times do we get told that in business? You have to just stick to one thing, and stop being all over the place. And then again, as growing up as a little girl, like intensity was not popular in the era that I grew up in. And I was always being conditioned to soften, to be nicer, to be softer, to be gentler. And it's like when I bring my intensity out, if I'm giving a webinar or something, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm being too bossy here. And they'll be like, no, we love you when you're bossy. Show us the intensity. So I just love that about knowing my human design.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to come back to something you said earlier about my design. You said that I see a vision, like I'm a visionary.
Yeah.
That is very true. And what I have done for a long time is I have tried to communicate context in order to communicate vision, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've discovered that if I just communicate the vision, that it can fall flat, that it can just not be understood. But if I try to explain it as context, well, here's why we're doing this. Here's the bigger picture. Here's how this piece fits to that piece and that piece fits to this piece, and just provide that context without really just stating, here's the vision, then it seems to work better. And I don't know. I mean, how does that fit into my human design?
Yeah, well, just, and I'm not looking at it right this minute, but I'm smiling because the energy that 70% of who you are goes through is the energy of someone who can understand the details, but not get lost in the details. So you're someone who can see the forest and the trees, and you know every detail of those trees, but you're not going to get lost in them because you always have your eye on the big vision. And that's a big piece of who you are. So you would absolutely bring that to people, be able to explain it to people, be able to bring them into your vision with you. And I think also the leadership is so key in your design. You have a lot of energy of leadership there. And then you have, I wonder if it's ever happened to you, or if it does happen to you, where people just come to you and tell you all your secrets. Like, you could be the guy at a party and somebody's going to come to you and just tell you their whole life story, and you'll be left thinking, oh, well, that was random. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have that energy about you. So I think that all of those things come together to make you this and the projector thing too. I mean, you're here to guide, right? So you're guiding people to a vision without being like this esoteric pie in the sky kind of vision that they have to buy into.
Well, as you said earlier, I mean, that's what I'm attempting to do with my entire Midlife Fulfilled initiative. And notice I use the word initiative and not podcast. I mean, yes, we're on the podcast right now, the Midlife Fulfilled podcast. But I'm thinking, to your point about vision, I'm thinking bigger than that. I'm thinking a media entity, which is podcast, blog. I'm working on a research report that should be published fairly soon, sometime in first half, hopefully first half of 2024. Long term, I want to put on events. So that's part of my vision. So yeah, I want more people to understand. Vicki, I want people to understand what it means to be fulfilled, because I've discovered a lot of people conflate happiness with fulfillment. And I'm over here thinking, no, no, no. And I'm trying to like shout from the rooftops. No, fulfillment is different. It's immutable. It's not the same as happiness. Yeah, it can feel similar at times, but that's my vision. And so it's really fascinating that you're hitting on things about me. And this is unrehearsed. I even told you before the recording that I wanted to have this conversation authentically for the first time during the recording. And I'm really fascinated by all the things that you're telling me about my design just by reading the chart.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful stuff.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, closing thought. Before I invite you to tell my listener where they can connect with you, learn more about this whole fascinating topic, closing thought on what you and I have discussed here, my chart, whatever closing thought you want to share.
Well, I can't wait to see the rest of your vision. Now that I know a little bit about your design, I'm excited to see the rest of your vision. I remember when I was in holistic nutrition school, we had to do a whole lot of case studies and a whole lot of market research. And the number one thing that women were feeling, I was dealing with women at the time, the number one thing that women were feeling that said held them back in life was unfulfilled expectations. And I think that's tragic. And I think that at midlife, I think it's Brené Brown that has that, I don't know if it's a quote or if it's a story that she says, but you know, it's like at midlife, something shakes you by the shoulders and says like, I'm not messing around anymore. It's now or never. And I feel like it's like we come alive at midlife. People are so worried that midlife is going to be a time where they dry up and nobody considers them. And I've had so many people even come into my world and they'll look at a bunch of, you know, on social media or whatever, a bunch of human design readers, and they choose me because I am older. So I think that there's so many gifts that we bring in midlife and beyond, and it's time for us to start stepping up and standing in that power. And I love how you do that with the podcast and the people that you bring on and the media company.
Yes, 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 yes. The multi-channel media company that is emerging slowly, little by little. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, those words of encouragement, and thank you for the insights that you shared in this conversation. This conversation flew by. Please tell my listener, so I can link it up in the show notes, how they can connect with you and just learn more about your amazing, fascinating world.
Sure. I have a podcast. It's Unjaded, Human Design for Intentional Entrepreneurs. And we talk about building the life, the business, and the relationships that you were made for. So we look at human design through the lens of those three things. And then you can go to my website, vickidixon.com, and run your chart. It's free. It's actually free. You don't have to put your email in if you don't want to. But if you want to learn about human design, your human design, then you pop your email in and you can get your chart.
Fantastic. Well, that's what I did. And I'm fascinated by it. So Vicki, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Midlife Fulfilled podcast, a maximum episode. You've really provided just amazing insights, and I can't wait to learn more about it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Before I remind you that if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great, I invite you to participate anonymously in groundbreaking research on midlife fulfillment. I'm partnering with Udemy, a leader in online education. and your participation in our survey will inform a research report and help shape the future of fulfillment in midlife. When you take this survey, you won't be asked to identify yourself. Even if you choose to optionally sign up to receive the report, your survey responses will remain anonymous. Please take this survey. It means a lot to me, and I think you'll enjoy it too. You can find this survey in the show notes for this episode, as well as on my website at midlifefulfilled.com. Friend, remember, if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. Now, if you want me to prove it to you, I have a scorecard for that. I'm your host, Bernie Borges, and I'll catch you on the next episode of the Midlife Fulfilled podcast.